What do you think of Kathleen Wynne? Well, no matter what your point of view is, I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed. She has one problem. She's a liberal. And that is one duffel bag full of rocks to be carrying as you start your new job. She's a liberal. She's carrying Dalton's baggage. Or are you going to call me and say, Andy, how unfair of you to think that she can't start with a clean slate? I have yet to hear one person say she's starting with a clean slate. No, she was at the table. She was part of this team. But let's try to be as fair to Kathleen Wynne as we can. Former high school cheerleader who went to high school, did you notice that, with Chip Martin. Interesting angle. Short break. Let's talk about Kathleen Wynne. We have a number of guests lined up. We're hoping Deb Matthews can join us for just a few moments. The Freedom Party, the Tory Party. Let the debate begin. And for Kathleen, let the games begin. She has promised to get the legislature back by February the 19th. She's got some work to do between now and then. Can you believe it? Putting a team together to try to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Back with in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
You're listening to London Today with Andy Udman. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email londontoday@cjbk.com or call 519-643-1290.
I'm not going to pretend that I wasn't at the caucus and cabinet table for the last 9 years. I am very proud of the work that we have done, and I'm also very willing to take responsibility for the reality that there were mistakes made. There were things that we did that we didn't do well.
9:23. I understand, just learned in the last moment or two, that we are going to connect with Ontario Health Minister Deb Matthews. And we hope to do that momentarily. Let me ask you this, if you think it's even an appropriate question. There's so many questions about the new Premier of Ontario, not yet sworn in, of course. Is it insulting to women if we make a big deal out of the fact that she's a woman? I mean, we now have, you could say, the majority of provincial leaders in Canada are now women. Kathleen Wynne is number 6. So is it patronizing to women? Is it old school thinking to even make a fuss out of the fact that we have our first woman premier? I want to ask Deb Matthews that. Why is it, do you think, that more and more provinces are choosing women as leaders? I mean, let's, quite frankly, maybe they'll do a better job. Maybe they'll, you know, maybe with less testosterone and more smarts and more savvy and more get along. And Kathleen Wynne seems to be the master of let's all get along with each other. This will work. This should be very interesting. So, as I say, we're going to talk to Deb Matthews in just a moment. I understand we're about to hook up with her, or it may have to wait until after the 9:30 news update. If you have some early thoughts on Kathleen Wynne, love to hear them. 643-1290. I, for one, am impressed. I'm impressed. I think the Liberals chose the right person. Janet Pupatello would have been a lot of fun to watch. She is one firecracker of a could-have-been premier, but obviously she lost. She lost, and so many of the other leaders took their support over to Kathleen Wynne. Kathleen Wynne, a professional mediator, and so she may be probably the one person in the Liberal camp who could sit down and have an honest chinwag with Tim Hudak and Andrea Horvath and convince them it might be in their best interests to support the Liberals. This is going to be absolutely fascinating to see where this is going to go, and it's going to unfold so fast over the next few days, because Kathleen Wynne has promised that the legislature will sit again by February the 19th, which is a very, very short time frame. So we'll be watching. Andrea Horvath, by the way, has a news conference set for 10 o'clock this morning. And so we'll see what she says. But I'm delighted we have now been joined by Ontario's Health Minister and co-chair of the Kathleen Wynne campaign, Deb Matthews. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning.
Well, let me give you a high five on the radio because, boy, what a weekend for you, Deb.
Yeah, it was a very, very exciting leadership race, very exciting. And I was thrilled with the outcome.
Well,
absolutely thrilled.
Absolutely. And I wish we had more time, but we only have 2 or 3 minutes. So let me get to the questions quickly. Chip Martin writes in the Free Press this morning that he went to high school with Kathleen. And what does he write? She was a sprinter, a basketball player, and a gymnast, a key member of the cheerleading squad. Who is the Kathleen Wynn of today?
Well, she's all of those things, I'm sure, still. She is a very, very intelligent person. She listens. She brings people together. She's driven by a determination to make things better for people in the province, and she sees politics as a vehicle to do that, government as a vehicle to do that, but she's not a fiercely partisan person. She wants to reach across the aisle. She wants to make minority government work. She wants to try to soften the tone in the legislature because it's become just a brutal place in terms of the tone. And she wants to find a way to bring peace and harmony back into our schools.
Let me ask you a question, Deb. We were just chatting whether it's insulting to women if I were to ask the question, should we even make a fuss out of the fact that Ontario has the first woman premier? You look across the country, Deb, women are taking over. It's a majority now, so good for you.
Well, it's historic, right? At Queen's Park, we've got all the portraits of all the premiers from the beginning of Ontario's history. She'll be the first woman, and that's important. I don't think she would ever want to be elected because she's a woman, but she is a woman, and she'll be a fantastic premier. I know that she. She'll bring an entirely different tone to things.
We have about a minute and a half left, and I want to ask you this key question. It's one that we are, all of Ontario is asking. I've been pretty vocal about some of the shortcomings of the Liberal government, everything from e-health to Orange and now the teacher situation. Real quick question. First, on the teachers, what do you think Kathleen's strategy will be?
She will work out. She's already spoken to the leaders of the federations. She's very clear. There is no more money, so this can't be a conversation about more money. It has to be a conversation about how are we going to get extracurriculars back in our schools. I think everybody wants to bring back extracurriculars, so how are we going to do that? And how are we going to make the process work better? This is only a two-year contract. We're already halfway through the first year of a two-year contract. We'll be into negotiations for the next contract before we know it. How do we make the process work better so we don't end up with a result that doesn't work for anyone?
A lot of parents listening, Deb, can you give us a ray of hope that maybe the extracurricular activities will be back sooner than later?
You know, I absolutely think we can find a way to do that. It's going to take goodwill on all sides. But I know teachers who coach and teachers who direct the musicals and do all that extra after-school help for kids. They want to do it. They've always volunteered to do it. They want to do it. We want them doing it. I think we can find a way. If anybody can do it, Kathleen can do it.
Okay, really quickly, we want you to hear a part of the Tory ad, which is already running on the radio. We're just going to put you on hold so you can hear it. Ryan, if you'd play the Tory ad.
The Ontario Liberals have a replacement, but as McGuinty's right hand, Kathleen Wynne has an expensive record of failure.
An expensive record of failure. We can't afford another Liberal government. That's what the Tory ad is saying. Deb, the last word goes to you. Your response to that ad.
You know, Kathleen is bringing such positive energy. She's expressing she wants to reach out, work together. That strikes me as a bit tone deaf, a bit old school. I think we should do our best to do what the people of this province told us to do, and that was make minority government work. So I understand the politics of that, but I think we have a really important challenge. Let's make minority government work. Let's avoid an unnecessary and expensive election, and I think we can do it.
Just between you and I, Deb, little secret going on here. When's the next election?
Not for a while, I hope.
Deb, all the best with the new government. I hope it works for you.
Thanks so much. was.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your calling. Okay, so there's Ontario's health minister, co-chair of the Wynne campaign. Hey, she's got to be flying high. Victory for Kathleen Wynne, and obviously a key position for Deb Matthews in the new government. Okay, 9:30 news update. When we come back, we'll hear other voices, such as the Tories and the Freedom Party, and yours, 643-1290. The lines are open. Do you think that Kathleen Wynne can crawl out from under the ashes and the rubble of the Dalton McGuinty disastrous regime that we have seen in the last 2 years and make it work? We'll be back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
From the News Talk 1290 newsroom, here is Ed Wilmot.
Good morning. It's 9:30. Periods of rain, windy, and rather mild through the day today. Temperatures rising to a high of 8. Well, she's all business. Premier-designate Kathleen Wynne is to meet with her advisors today as she gets ready for her first caucus meeting tomorrow as Liberal leader. The incoming Premier and her team will make plans for the transition of power, then talk about choices for Cabinet. Wynne wants to get the legislature back in business as early as February the 19th. She's also expecting to arrange a chat with NDP leader Andrea Horvath today. She talked briefly with PC leader Tim Hudak on the weekend. Wynne hopes an agreement can be struck to keep her minority Liberal government alive and stave off an early election.
You're listening to London Today with Andy Udman. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email londontoday@cjbk.com or call 519-643-1290.
You know, Kathleen is bringing such positive energy. She's expressing she wants to reach out, work together. That strikes me as a bit tone deaf, a bit old school. I think we should do our best to do what the people of this province told us to do, and that was make minority government work. So I understand the politics of that, but I think we have a really important challenge. Let's make minority government work. Let's avoid an unnecessary and expensive election, and I think we can do it.
Do you think they can do it? 643-1290, the lines are open. Do you think the Liberals with Kathleen Wynne? And I want to be really blunt with you. I think she is, if there's anybody in the Liberal Party who can do it, I think it's Kathleen Wynne. I think Janet Pupatello, with comments like, I want to bring the opposition to its knees, just wasn't the right person. Let's face it, it is a minority government, and she's going to have to work, the new leader obviously has to work with the other parties. And Kathleen Wynne comes with a whole different approach. The question is she strong enough, feisty enough, aggressive enough, to deal with the opposition? I want to share with you some of the voices that we heard last night on CTV News, the national news. It wasn't the lead story, but close to the lead story on Kathleen Wynne's win. And by the way, it is W-Y-N-N-E, so we get the spelling right. Kathleen Wynne, I think, is very impressive. The question is, can she crawl out from under the rubble that has been left by what's obviously, especially the last 2 years, been a series of scandals, e-health, Orange, and so many others, wind turbines. We had the Strathroy grandmother, Rita Van Geffen, on Friday with her solar panel, which is not hooked up. You know all the disasters. Can she crawl out from under all that baggage? Certainly, I think the fact that she's a different gender than Dalton helps. She certainly looks entirely different. I don't think the fact that she is gay has anything to do with anything. It may hurt her somewhat in rural Ontario. The fact she's a woman, a non-factor. Most premiers, for that matter, in Canada are now women. So can she do it? Let's hear the CTV report.
The new leader.
Just hours after her historic win, today Kathleen Wynne was back in front of the cameras, explaining how she plans to keep her new job for more than a few months or even weeks.
What we know is that Ontarians don't want an election. I think we've all been very clear about that, that they do expect us to lead.
And while Wynne was dancing with joy Saturday, named Premier Dalton McGuinty's replacement, she's inheriting a mess hardly worth celebrating. A $12 billion provincial deficit, controversies over the air ambulance service, canceled gas plants, and an ugly labor dispute with teachers.
I think most of the people of Ontario will judge her on the basis of whether she can get the economy going, get the spending under control, solve some of the problems with the teachers.
But the question is, will she even get time to try to do that with the opposition parties able to bring down her minority government after the legislature resumes next month and the Conservatives wasting no time in launching radio attack ads?
The Ontario Liberals have a replacement, but as McGuinty's right hand, Kathleen Wynne has an expensive record of failure.
During her first news conference as premier-designate, Wynne said she wanted to find common ground with the opposition, but afterwards, more conservative attacks.
We didn't hear her talk about the jobs and debt crisis that they created in Ontario, and we didn't hear anything about a plan, and I think that's very, very concerning for Ontarians.
Wynne was also asked today about becoming the country's first openly gay premier. She said she's long felt a special responsibility to young people who are gay, looking for signs of a world that's more accepting.
If I can help people to be less frightened, then that's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
But Wynne also said she is not a gay activist and clearly wants the focus to be on the challenges that lie ahead, governing the province and hanging on to power.
So I'd be very interested at this very early stage what your first impressions are of Kathleen Wynne. Biggest positive, biggest negative? Let's do it that way. Biggest positive, biggest negative. Biggest negative to me is obvious, and that is the heritage of the McGuinty government. That's pure and simple. She was there. Doesn't mean that she is Dalton McGuinty light. No, she was there and could have done more to stop some of these decisions. So that's certainly the biggest negative. The biggest positive, her personality. I don't know the woman. Chip Martin says he went to school with her. She was feisty back then already, a sprinter, a basketball player, a gymnast, a key member of the cheerleading squad. Biggest positive and biggest negative when it comes to Kathleen Wynne. I think she's honest. I think that is one of the impressions that I have right off the bat, is she just is honest. But you know what? All the same things we said about Dalton McGuinty. He's nice. He's a good family man. He seems so honest and direct. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Your thoughts on Kathleen Wynne. John, go ahead.
Negative. I've been a longtime Liberal supporter, but that train is in the station. Never again. After the two terms that Dalton, or one and a half terms that he put in, absolutely not. And I know there's a lot of people striking down these teachers, and I'm not saying that they're not well compensated, but I'm not personally a teacher. I'm not married to one, or I don't have any in my family. But I just don't understand why nobody's talking about the fact that the Liberal government just pushes through a bill, then based on that bill, push through a contract and then abolish the bill. And the biggest thing that I don't understand what people are not talking about is, and every teacher that I've ever spoke with, it's not about the money. It's about them taking away sick days. They took away, for instance, I know one teacher personally know a teacher that in our school is the biggest proponent of extracurricular. He probably does half of the extracurricular, and they stole over 200 sick days from him. Those sick days cannot be used at the end of, in the Thames Valley Board, cannot be used for anything, like that you lose them if you don't use them. So he lost 200 and some sick days. So from a teacher's perspective, if this guy goes out now and he's teaching kids basketball on his time, because he doesn't have to do extracurricular, rolls his ankle and he's on a long-term disability, he can't use his sick days. They were negotiated in a contract. They were given those sick days, and now they're taking them away. I've never heard one teacher, not one, say they want money. But that's every government, politician, and the media. You guys seem to just go on with that. Money, money, money. I haven't heard that from the union, and I haven't heard it from the teachers. But taking those sick days away is nothing but theft. And to me, if I negotiate a contract, I certainly hope that the right thing happens, and whatever I negotiate and come to the table with, that is carried through. That's taking money. It would be like whoever's employing you coming to you and saying, you know what, we're going in your bank account, we're going to have to take out half of that money that we gave you last week. Sorry about that. Wrong.
John, fascinating to hear you talk, especially as a Liberal who's given up on the Liberals. As you say, the train is now stalled in the station. Is there anything that Kathleen Wynne can do or say that would bring you back to the Liberal fold?
Not a hope. Not a hope. And once one of these other governments, I believe, realize that if they hook up with the teachers, that they're going to be, I believe that the unions giving the Liberals the support in the last election is what really propelled them into another victory, nearly another majority.
Where did Dalton go wrong, John?
Lying. Straight out lied, and he, you know, I won't raise taxes, and he's brought in more taxes than I can ever remember. So I just I have no use for the man. I have no use for the Liberal government now.
Wow.
It's just outright lies. And then the capper for me is when you take basic rights away from people, and people, you know what, people can put down the teachers, but you got to think about one thing. If they start passing laws and start taking away your rights as an individual, what effect is that going to have on you? And you know what? It's coming to your backyard soon.
John, we have so many callers who are waiting, but I have to ask you one more question. If you've left the Liberals, who are you going to?
There's a head scratcher. That's going to take some time. I really don't know. I know it won't be the Liberals.
What do you think of Andrea?
I guess she hasn't really been in the limelight too much. I have no problem with her personally. I just don't think that, we'll have to see. I just don't know how you can dig out of that hole.
And
she was part and parcel with that government at the time.
And
I think they need to clean them all out.
And Tim Hudak?
At this point in the game, he just kind of... I just kind of floppy. I just don't see. I don't see any one of them that are a clear leader.
He doesn't have the strength you're looking for. John, that was a great call. I thank you so much for it. Frank, Chris, and Gary, let's start with Frank. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, I just want to say that John's right on the money. Excellent call there. I agree with him 100%. It really is. I'm not even involved in the teachers at all and stuff, but I just don't like the way the government has handled this whole situation. I just think it starts from the top. If McGuinty or anybody in the government wants to do something like this for teachers, they have to lead by example. They take a pay cut. They cut back on some of their salary or on whatever, then go to the police or go to the teachers or whatever and, say, there, we did it. Now you guys got to do it.
If they were
the bullies here, not the teachers or anybody else, and even the point about them, like we brought up about if somebody gets injured while they're volunteering, what happens then?
Yeah.
Who covers it? There's all kinds of issues with that. I don't agree. Now, as far as the female getting in for when, I think that's great. I think females in politics is awesome. I usually vote on who I can trust. Who do I believe the most? Sometimes the policies, they change like the wind. And they say one thing and do another.
And you know what? That's a sad thing. And when you see someone like Kathleen Wynne, I believe her. She just has that honesty thing. But you know what? Power corrupts. And politicians...
Exactly. But like McGuinty, to me, I didn't like him from the start. And it's just, this guy's like, he ran, he's a mouse.
Yeah, and politicians, this is so sad because so many of them start off with great intentions. They have principles, but it's everything about staying in power, and even if you have to give a great call, appreciate it. Chris, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Just a couple comments. One about Kathleen Wynne. I think somebody's got to give her a chance. There's no point in the Conservatives launching this smeared pain. Everybody knows about the record, but she's the one who's there, so let's give her a chance to do something. It's a little bit of insecurity on the Conservatives' part, maybe, that they've got to go on the offensive rather than promote themselves. It just seems like a smear campaign, and I think it just shouldn't have a place in politics today.
Chris, great call. Appreciate it so much. Let's go to Gary. Gary, go ahead, and then Richard.
Hi. I want to zoom in on the teachers. Not asking for any pay increase or any financial compensations. What does that caller think that sick time is? What does he think that holidays are if they're not money? If they're not money, what are they? The teachers took the children hostage, and they bought into the concept of the trade union movement. They aren't trade unionists. They don't even call themselves a union. They call themselves an association. They don't pull their people out on strike. They don't jeopardize their position in having to pay strike pay. They simply go on rotating strikes. They bully the children into extracurricular activities removal. And
Gary, let's get back just before we let you go. Let's get back to Kathleen Wynne. Do you think she can crawl out from the rubble left by Dalton McGuinty and keep the Liberals in power and even win an election at some point?
I seriously doubt it.
Too much baggage?
Too much baggage, and in fact, not only, not particularly her, but for the Liberal Party in general.
Gary, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Richard. Richard, go ahead.
Good morning, Andy, right? Yeah, I watched the convention on Friday night. I really don't have too much comment on that. But I want to say one thing, Andy, that nobody seems to want to address in this province. They have a $12 billion deficit, and it's not going to go away, Andy, until they get somebody in there, right, that's got the ability, right, and the political will to get their fiscal house back in order. Everybody seems to like to talk about, we have a woman premier now, and there's six of them across Canada. Well, one thing we did have in the past, we had what they call Canada's first female finance minister. Her name was Janice McKinnon, and that's the kind of finance minister, right, that I hope Kathleen appoints, but I certainly won't hold my breath. But all I've got to say, Andy, until that deficit has been addressed, right, that $12 billion debt, it's not going to go away. My children right now and my grandchildren are still paying it off a debt from a past incompetent government from 22 years ago, Andy, and that's what's going to happen in this province, right? It's going to take at least another 25 years, right, to get this debt under control.
Yeah. Kathleen Wynne says she's very focused on that issue. Do you believe her? Or is
No, I don't. And the reasoning I don't believe her, Andy, is because she sat at that same cabinet table, right, along with the rest of the bunch, right, that got us into this difficulty today in Ontario. But if you're sincere, Kathleen, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. If you're sincere and if you're listening to me, get yourself somebody like Canada's first female finance minister. Her name was Janice McKinnon. You get somebody like her, and I guarantee you, you'll get your books back into the block. Thank you, Andy, and you have a nice day.
And you're obviously a history buff, and I thank you for the perspective. Jim, go ahead.
How you doing? I'll just say one name, Kim Campbell. Look what happened to her when she was prime minister. I'm afraid this is going to happen to her as well. Have a good day, Jim.
Too much baggage. Interesting comparison. Short break. Back with more of your calls. What do you think of Kathleen Wynne? Can she crawl out from under all the rubble left by Dalton McGuinty and restore your faith in the Liberal Party? John, an avid Liberal, told us a few minutes ago, no, she can't. Too much baggage. 643-1290, back in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
You're listening to London Today with Andy Udman. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email londontoday@cjbk.com or call 519-643-1290.
After 16 years as leader of the Ontario Liberal Party, and after 9 years as premier, it's time for renewal. It's time for the next Liberal premier.
Negative. I've been a longtime Liberal supporter, but that train is in the station. Never again. After the two terms that Dalton, or one and a half terms that he put in, absolutely not.
9:55 now. Roger, thanks for waiting. Your thoughts on Kathleen Wynne. Can she save the Liberals?
No. In fact, that last little blurb we had there, the train is not in the station. The train has crashed, and they haven't realized it yet. Kathleen, wonderful woman, I'm sure. But to me, holding up Dalton's arms in her big victory hour there in Toronto means she's a Dalton in a skirt, and she's going to play his game just the way he's been playing it, and we will have another liar in the parliament to pull his gears the way they've been doing it, telling us everything's wonderful, and meanwhile it's falling apart. And so I applaud Tim Hudak for trying to take a hard stand. If he can push this into an election, good for him. Whether he's got the cash to run an election or not, and I don't think the NDP's got any more than he does, it'll be a wonderful day when we get out on the streets again, put some signs up to send this terrible Liberal regime, including Debbie Matthews, off to Hawaii for a month to their condos and things like that, that they can very well afford now, having raped this province as well as they have.
Wow. It's one thing for...
Sorry to interrupt you. There's no wow to that. That's reality, Andy. The stuff that they have done, the paycheck we're going to give Dalton to get the hell out, is incredible. And the check we will give to the guy down in Windsor that's the finance guy, Duncan, he's taking $250,000, and he'll go buy a condo in Florida too, you know? And Debbie Matthews can afford one anyway, but she'll get $500,000 to go away, even when she gets kicked out of office. So there's no wow to it. That's reality in the province of Ontario today.
Roger, I was so impressed. I mean, it's one thing for Tories to call and slam Kathleen Wynne. I understand that. But when a liberal, an avowed liberal like John calls and says, I give up on the liberals, doesn't matter what Kathleen Wynne stands for,
yeah.
That carries a lot of weight with me. Thanks for the great call, Roger. We're going to continue this. Obviously, we're touching a real nerve here, a lot of bitterness towards the Dalton McGuinty legacy. So we're going to continue to talk to you. We have more guests lined up. Your thoughts on Kathleen Wynne. Can she save the Liberals? And the consensus so far seems to be not a chance. Lively debate. We'll continue it on the other side of the 10 o'clock news right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
This is News Talk 1290 CJBK AM London. News Talk 1290 CJBK. From the News Talk 1290 newsroom, here is Ed Wilmot.
Good morning. It's 10 o'clock. Periods of rain through the day today with a high of 8. Right now we are sitting at plus 2. Now, she is all business. Premier-designate Kathleen Wynne is to meet with her advisors today as she prepares for her first caucus meeting. PC leader Tim Hudak says it's time for Wynne to get moving. Told CTV News the economy is in tough shape.
And the situation is serious and it's urgent. And this is the biggest debt and jobs crisis in our lifetime. So we don't have more time to waste. Let's get at it. I look for a chance to meet with the incoming premier to talk about it.
Wynne is going to be meeting with her advisors today as she gets ready for her first caucus meeting tomorrow. She says she wants to get everything rolling, the legislature back in session, no later than February the 19th.
Now, London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK, London's premier forum for news, views, and up-to-date information. Here's Andy Udman.
And we go live to Andrea Horvath, thanks to CP24. Here we go.
I've said before, we can deliver results in a minority government. That's why I'm talking to the public first and directly. I intend to be clear with the public about what New Democrats want to achieve. I intend to be equally clear when I think the government's moving in the wrong direction. And most importantly, I don't plan to say anything to the Premier designate that I'm not going to say to the people at home. I've made a commitment to deliver results. And in the coming days, I'll be laying out some pretty achievable goals that the legislature can reach this spring. Goals that I'm ready to work with MPPs from any party to achieve. But first, the Premier designate has to show the people of Ontario that she's ready to make changes. We must begin by dealing with the elephant that's taken a front row seat in the legislature. In the lead up to the last election campaign, the McGuinty Liberals canceled plans to build a gas-fired electricity plant in Oakville. And then, midway through the last campaign, they declared that they were going to do the same to a plant in Mississauga. These were contracts that they had signed to build these plants. Contracts that they had defended. Contracts that they refused to make public. And when the people demanded answers about the cost of canceling these projects, the government refused to provide those answers, even when asked by a duly elected legislative committee. In the days and weeks that came after that request, we saw a lot of drama around here, a lot of political games, a lot of chest thumping and finger pointing. But what we didn't see were basic answers for the people who are paying the bills for this mess. The last premier used prorogation as a way to block the scrutiny of the mess. The new premier needs to do better. I am asking the new premier designate to call for a public inquiry now, to take it out of the House for a nonpartisan review and allow the legislature to instead focus on other key matters. Ontarians deserve answers. A public inquiry would take the politics out of the issue by allowing an independent eye to take a look at what really went on and to provide Ontarians with real answers. If we want to move forward and get results, we need to see change in the way we do business. We need to start by clearing the air and making sure the mistakes of the past don't get repeated. In the coming days, I'm going to be laying out real, prudent steps that we can take this spring to do the right thing by the people of this province, the people who elected us. But we can't start until we make it clear that we're ready to make this place accountable. The Premier designate must take this first important step in order to get the House back to business, and I look forward to her doing so. I'll take questions.
If you don't get that public inquiry, are you going to vote no against the budget? Or are you going to not work with the Liberals if you don't get the public inquiry?
Well, again, I think the public inquiry is the best way to get at this issue and not to slow down the legislature and make sure that we can get some business done here. So I await the Premier designate's response.
The ball's in the court. You would support the continuation of the contempt charges?
Well, again, I'm waiting to see now what the response will be from the Premier designate. I believe that we need to get back to business here, and I believe I've given the Premier designate a way forward to get this out of the legislative realm, to prevent the legislature from being tied up in knots again and not getting anything done for the people, and I'm hoping she'll take my advice.
So if she doesn't agree to this inquiry, then you will allow those contempt charges to keep going and come up.
Well, I mean, she has a choice. She has a pretty basic choice. We can either take it out of the legislature and find a place for the people to get their answers, or we can go through the process inside the legislature. That'll be her decision to make. I think I've given her a good option to consider.
And are you saying that you won't entertain any other questions about what policies you might support until this question is dealt with?
Well, again, I'll be raising over the next couple of days some other things. I think I alluded to that in my speech, that I think that we can achieve if the Premier designate's prepared to work with me to achieve them. But this, I think, is a primary matter because we saw what happened in the last session before the prorogation, which was the legislature wasn't moving forward. So let's take this issue, depoliticize it, get it into a public place where there are public hearings, where there's a clear opportunity for answers to the public so that we can get back to business in this legislature.
How crucial is, like, Wynn's response to this ask, how crucial is that to your view of, you know, the reality or the truth of her saying, hey, I'm willing to work with the other parties?
Well, I think what's crucial is whether or not she's prepared to follow up or follow through on promises to do things differently, on promises to be transparent and open and accountable to the public. I believe that this process allows her to do that while still allows the government to work with us to get other things done.
Yeah, and that's a question quite right.
I think all of us know that any public inquiry into the gas plant closures will be politically damaging to the Liberals. So your first act, showing her you want to work with her, is to basically say, here's a noose, tie it, stick your neck in it. How do you think she's going to respond to that?
Well, it seems to me that this issue exists. The people of Ontario deserve the answers. We can either go through the process internally and within the legislature. That's an option. What I'm saying to the Premier designate is there is another option, one that takes it out of this chamber, does depoliticize it somewhat in terms of being a third-party process, but this still provides the answers to the people of Ontario, answers that they deserve.
Wow, some high drama at Queen's Park this morning as the NDP leader, Andrea Horvath, who, of course, is the key player in all of this in terms of how Kathleen Wynne rolls out her new approach to government, especially with a minority situation. So a very dramatic statement from Andrea Horvath, as you heard live, carried right here on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to get some immediate reaction from you, our listeners, 643-1290. Andrea Horvath laying down a line in the sand, call a public inquiry. She's giving her the choice. Either we'll debate this in the House and we'll make a big stink out of the gas plant. I think this is a very bold move, and one which is going to score her, I think, a lot of political points. Andrea Horvath this morning saying, hey, call a public inquiry. Twisting in the wind of all of this, of course, another key player, and that is Chris Bentley right here in London. So it's high drama involving Chris Bentley, involving the whole province. This is a key moment. Andrea Horvath's statement just moments ago. Going to get some immediate reaction from Paul McKeever, from the leader of the Freedom Party of Ontario, in just a moment. And you're wide open to give us a call as well, 643-1290. I'd love to hear from you right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
You're listening to London Today with Andy Udman. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email londontoday@cjbk.com or call 519-643-1290.
We must begin by dealing with the elephant that's taken a front row seat in the legislature. In the lead up to the last election campaign, the McGuinty Liberals canceled plans to build a gas-fired electricity plant in Oakville. And then, midway through the last campaign, they declared that they were going to do the same to a plant in Mississauga. These were contracts that they had signed to build these plants. Contracts that they had defended. Contracts that they refused to make public. And when the people demanded answers about the cost of canceling these projects, the government refused to provide those answers, even when asked by a duly elected legislative committee.
A dramatic and bold stand taken by Andrea Horvath just moments ago. She's still taking questions on her strong position on Kathleen Wynne and what she must do to restore faith in the political process, and that is call a public inquiry into what happened with the cancellation of those gas plants in Mississauga and Oakville. Want to get some immediate reaction. I'm pleased that we have with us this morning Paul McKeever, who is the president of the Freedom Party of Ontario. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm good. Let me ask you your immediate reaction to what you just heard here live on CJBK.
Well, you know, it looks clear to me the opening moves in this chess game have now all been played by both the Hudak PCs and the Horvath NDP. And the only word that sums it up for me is irresponsible. I mean, here we are on the first day after Kathleen Wynne has just been selected. She hasn't even been sworn in yet. We've already got attack ads by the PCs. And now we've got Ms. Horvath's NDP saying they want to set up a ad scam-like inquiry. It's clear to me the only thing that the Hudak PCs and the Horvath NDP have in mind is another election. They're trying to trigger it, and they don't want to come forward with ideas. They just want to say, liberal bad, elect us instead.
Where do you think this is going in terms of an election, yay or nay?
I think it's, if they keep going like this, I think it's definitely a yes. I think we're probably looking at something that happens after the failure of a budget proposal, and we already know that Tim Hudak's PCs have said they're not going to vote in favor of the budget no matter what it is. So there you go. They're entirely focused on an election, just like last time. They're on, you know, path to failure 2013 again. And meanwhile, the NDP look like they're swallowing the same Kool-Aid. So, you know, we're ready to go, Andy. Freedom Party's got actually some proposals to deal with the elephant in the room, which is not some power plant. The elephant in the room is the fact that we're running double-digit deficits, that we are facing a debt that the finance minister said just last week is a ticking time bomb. A ticking time bomb. And yet, what are we spending time on in the PC party? They're putting out attack ads, and the NDP are putting out this, we want an inquiry. They're distracting the public from the key crisis, because they have not put forward and will not put forward an answer to how are they going to balance the budget if they're elected. Andy, it's time for the public to be given an answer. Freedom Party is coming forward with one. I hope they will listen. We're going to be putting it out before the legislature meets again. But this is utterly irresponsible. I'm utterly beside myself.
Well, Paul, I mean, you got the Tories with their attack ads. You got Andrea Horvath saying, call a public inquiry into the gas plants. I'm looking to the Freedom Party. What big announcement do you have this morning, Paul?
Well, in 2012, Andy, we did put out what was called an opposition budget. Nobody else wanted to put one out and say what they would do. We did. And we're doing it again this time. And what we're saying is, look, the elephant in the room when it comes to the budget is the spiraling cost of health care. And as it turns out, it's a result of a decision made by the Progressive Conservatives in 1969 to ban alternatives. We need to open up health care insurance to alternatives, get the health care file off budget, restore the connection between the patient and the doctor so that we don't have wasted services, so that people aren't going into waiting rooms in these clinics with sniffles, but rather know that, you know, there is some cost associated with every health care procedure that they seek. And we have to make sure that it's competitive so the prices come down. Right now, the cost of health care is as high or higher than the price in the United States for private health care, which is already horribly too high because in the United States, they've got, you know, lobbyists setting up mandatory requirements to cover you know, whether it be chiropractic or whatever. So we need a competitive system where the patient can get just the coverage they want, and we need to do that now because right now, Andy, that accounts for, healthcare accounts for the lion's share of the deficit. And we can both reduce the deficit, or eliminate the deficit, actually, and eliminate several of the tax burdens in Ontario, restore some of the attractive environment we have here for jobs so that we stop the outflow of jobs to places like India and China. Right now, I'm an employment lawyer. Every day, I'm seeing an increasing number of people who come in, and they say, I've just lost my customer service role. I say, your job just went off to India. Yes, they did, sir. How did you know? Well, because I've seen four more like you earlier today. It's disgusting, Andy, and it's all out of political cowardice. We have to deal with this deficit now, and healthcare is the budget elephant in the room. Freedom Party is going to do that. You'll be seeing the plan. I'll release it in February just before the legislature meets.
Paul, you know what strikes me? It's very interesting that Andrea Horvath, in her live news conference moments ago, referred to this phrase, the elephant in the room. The fact is, Paul, I wish it were just an elephant in the room. We have a herd of stampeding elephants in the room. Give me the top five elephants leading this stampede of stampeding elephants in the room. Well, who are the five? What are the five issues, the five big ones, in the order of how important they are to the future of Ontario?
Well, I'll just put it first out there this, Andy. The politicians that are currently in there want you to believe that it's a whole herd of stampeding elephants so that you'll be feeling so overwhelmed that you'll believe that nothing can be done to stop them. The fact of the matter is the entire budget problem would be resolved simply with the health care reform that I'm talking about. But, of course, the big issues for Freedom Party are health care, electricity, education, auto insurance. It's always the same things every year. Those are the big-ticket items. And, of course, we have a number of small things that need to be fixed. But, you know, for example, wine and beer in corner stores, we've proposed that for a couple of years.
Okay, but let's go back to those top four that you mentioned, okay? What are they in what order?
Oh, healthcare is absolutely number one. It is right now driving the deficit.
I totally, totally agree. This thing is just exploding, the healthcare budget.
Right.
Okay, what's number two?
Number two is absolutely electricity. That's not so much a budget issue. That's a personal expense issue because individuals have to pay that when they get their bill in the mail. The problem there is the Green Energy Act. We've gone ahead and committed ourselves to windmills and solar. We need to get off of that right away, and we need to restore sources that are privately owned, privately financed. We can't be getting the government involved in these $20 billion boondoggles that take the form usually of nuclear, and we have to allow clean coal, not dirty coal, but clean coal alternatives that do exist. That's the most inexpensive form. We need to better utilize our water, hydro sources. And I think if we allow individuals in their own homes to generate electricity, take some of the restrictions away that, I mean, currently people in my area up here in farm country, we've got people who'd like to generate just a little bit of electricity using their own personal turbines, and they're prohibited by the local governments from doing so. We have to eliminate those prohibitions, allow people to generate electricity, cut some of their personal expense until we can get this province.
Okay, so your number one item is health care, your number two is electricity, number three.
We need to restore choice in education, and we need to stop teacher bashing. This idea that you can somehow balance the budget by bashing teachers, bashing unions, interfering with labor relations absolutely has to stop. It's a distraction. I've been saying it since last August. We need to stop making teachers the enemy, unions the enemy, and look at the fact that these budgets are not passed by teachers and unions. These budgets are passed by MPPs, elected MPPs, who should be taking personal responsibility and are failing utterly and are thrashing it in all directions. We need to take the focus off of teachers and unions, and we need to restore choice, yes, in health, in education, but take responsibility in the legislature for the budget.
And we'll let you sneak one more in. What's number four?
Well, actually, you know, auto insurance, I've been saying this for a long time. People are afraid to make claims. You know, you get someone backing into you in a parking lot, you end up having, if you make a claim, your premiums go up. Unacceptable. It's all the result of no-fault insurance and these statutory accident benefits, which encourage fraud. Right now, the reason your premiums are as high as they are is because we've got rampant fraud. So to control the expense of this, they keep on decreasing benefits. What used to be $100,000 in coverage is now $25,000. It's disgraceful. We're paying for nothing.
Paul, you're scaring me because I'm going, wait a minute, am I applauding the Freedom Party of Ontario? Because you're making a whole lot of sense here. Absolutely. Health care is an exploding issue, and it is an elephant in the room. Okay, Andrew Horvath, news conference just moments ago, saying we got to have a public inquiry. Is Kathleen Wynne going to bite?
No, she won't, but she's still going down. That party is it's toast. I'm sorry, but they've outstayed their welcome, and they've got just far too much to account for, and the only way that they're going to be able to clean their house is by taking a time out.
And one more thing, when's the next election, Paul McKeever of the Freedom Party?
Well, if the NDP and the PCs keep pecking away like they are in all these random directions, I think we're looking end of May, beginning of June.
Okay, here's the key question this morning, and this will determine when we have the next election. Andrea Horvath she's got a choice. She can prop Kathleen Wynne up and give her time to establish herself as a solid new leader, or she can take the risk of an election now, even though Ontarians don't want one, when Andrea Horvath is topping the polls when it comes to the question, which of the political leaders are you fondest of?
Right, and I think if anyone looks at this, they're going to look at what's behind curtain number two there, Andy. Ms. Horvath, I think she's going to go for it this time. I don't think it's going to work out for her, but I think if she's ever going to have a chance of returning us all to socialism and Ray days, this is going to be it.
Okay, very interesting. Paul, I appreciate you joining us this morning.
Take care.
Fascinating, dramatic developments in just the last few minutes. Andrea Horvath not tipping her hand as to whether she's going to prop up the new Liberal government of Kathleen Wynne, but certainly taking a strong stand saying call a public inquiry into the gas plant issue. Fascinating. 10:30 news update in just a moment. Back with more in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
From the News Talk 1290 newsroom, here is Jill Young.
Good morning. It's 10:30. Rain or drizzle and windy today. High of 8 right now. It's plus 1. She's all business. Premier-designate Kathleen Wynne is to meet with her advisors today. She prepares her first caucus. Kathleen Wynne is meeting with the advisors as she preps for her first meeting tomorrow as the new leader of the Liberal government. A PC leader, Tim Hudak, says it's time for Wynne to get going. He told CTV News to get the economy going.
The situation is serious and it's urgent. And this is the biggest debt and jobs crisis in our lifetime. So we don't have more time to waste. Let's get at it. I look for a chance to meet with the incoming premier to talk about it.
The incoming premier and her team will make plans for the transition of power and talk about choices for her cabinet. Wynne hopes an agreement can be struck to keep the minority Liberal government alive and stave off an early election. Government House Leader Peter Van Loan says the economy will be the cornerstone of the Tories' agenda as the Commons resumes today. He's pointing to the stability to our political system as MPs get back to work, noting the political gridlock in Europe and the U.S. Van Loan says Canada has the lowest debt burden and the best job creation record among developed countries, which he attributes to productive, orderly, and hardworking Parliament.
You're listening to London Today with Andy Udman. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email londontoday@cjbk.com or call 519-643-1290.
What we know is that Ontarians don't want an election. I think we've all been very clear about that, that they do expect us to lead.
A lot of drama in the air this morning. A lot of politics in the air this morning. We're following closely the reaction to Andrea Horvath's statement just moments ago, challenging the incoming Premier Kathleen Wynne to call a public inquiry into the issue of the cancellation of those gas plants in Mississauga and Oakville. And there's poor Chris Bentley going, oh, no, they're going to bring it all back again. I thought it was out of the woods. A lot of politics and short break when we come back. More reaction to the dramatic events happening at Queen's Park. We understand that our premier-elect, Kathleen Wynne, is going to meet with Premier Dalton McGuinty literally in the next few minutes. They are gathering right now. They're going to have a photo op at about 11:15. Andrea Horvath, meanwhile, has taken a rather dramatic stand, calling on the new premier-elect to call a public inquiry into Chris Bentley's mess, the gas plant issue in Mississauga and Oakville. So very strong stand, dramatic developments. We'll get more reaction to all of that in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
You're listening to London Today with Andy Udman. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email londontoday@cjbk.com or call 519-643-1290.
I'm not going to pretend that I wasn't at the caucus and cabinet table for the last 9 years. I am very proud of the work that we have done, and I'm also very willing to take responsibility for the reality that there were mistakes made. There were things that we did that we didn't do well.
You know, Kathleen Wynne was right. Oh, if she only knew how right she was when she said in her victory speech, this was the easy part. Winning the leadership of the Liberal Party's the easy part. Boom, right out of the chute yesterday, Tory ads saying we cannot afford another Liberal government. And boom, right out of the chute this morning, Andrea Horvath saying at a news conference carried live right here on CJBK, the Liberals have to give us an explanation for the disastrous decision with respect to the gas plants, canceling the gas plants in Mississauga and Oakville. A $1 billion boondoggle to add to the earlier $1 billion boondoggles. I want to get some quick reaction, but first I want to play you the clip of Andrea Horvath at her news conference this morning. Then we'll get some early reaction from our friend Stephen LeDrew at CP24, and then Monty McNaughton, the Tory MPP for Lambton, Kent, Middlesex. Because in talk radio, we love to hear all those voices, all those points of view. Here's Andrea.
We must begin by dealing with the elephant that's taken a front row seat in the legislature. In the lead up to the last election campaign, the McGuinty Liberals canceled plans to build a gas-fired electricity plant in Oakville. And then, midway through the last campaign, they declared that they were going to do the same to a plant in Mississauga. These were contracts that they had signed to build these plants. Contracts that they had defended. Contracts that they refused to make public. And when the people demanded answers about the cost of canceling these projects, the government refused to provide those answers, even when asked by a duly elected legislative committee.
Tough talk from Andrea Horvath, and obviously that's going to be the focus when reporters meet with what Dalton McGuinty and Kathleen Wynne were hoping was a mere photo session. No, it is going to be a scrum, and it's going to be high-powered. Stephen LeDrew has commented now on CP24, and he's a pretty savvy commentator. I was very interested in his comments on Andrea Horvath's position. Here we go.
Well, as I said at the outset after Ms. Horvath's press conference, she's an honest woman. I have no doubt that she means what she says when she says, I'd like to get down to the real issues that are impacting the people of Ontario, which is, you know, the jobs and the debt crisis and the teachers. And she has a point that this spending on the gas plants, over $1 billion in some estimations, that was just blown out of the air by Mr. McGuinty to try to get a majority government the last time, is a big issue. And the government has to be held to account from it. It's not Ms. Wynne's issue, but she inherited that by being part of Mr. McGuinty's cabinet, by being part of the same party. So what we're doing, what we're watching right now, is to see how Ms. Wynne gets out of this predicament. And it's a huge predicament. She wants to do the right thing as premier and serve the people of Ontario, but she's got this political, as Ms. Horvath said, it's the elephant in the room. And it's even bigger than an elephant. It's a huge scandal. We're going to have to watch, see how she does it. But she has to be careful that she doesn't want a goggery hanging around her neck as an albatross, which is going to pull her down. So it'll be interesting to see how she deals with Mr. McGuinty in about a half an hour.
And then there's Chris Bentley, who's twisting in the wind, mortified by all of this, because he knows there's a lot more manure coming up from these tires that's going to splash up on him. Want to get more reaction now to all these dramatic events. Joining us this morning, Monty McNaughton, the Tory MPP for Lambton, Kent, Middlesex. Monty, a lot of drama there.
Oh, good morning, Andy. Lots of drama. I'm at my Queen's Park office as we speak, and all waiting to hear what the new premier, how she's going to react to this latest issue.
I'm sure under your breath you must be saying, I never want to be in a position where I have to at one point apologize for my government while at the same point saying, but I'm bright and I'm new and I'm fresh, but wait a minute, you're tied to your party. I mean, what a pickle Kathleen Wynne is in. She was right when she said the easy part was winning the leadership.
Listen, there's no one more closely connected to the Dalton McGuinty government than Kathleen Wynne. I mean, she held the highest portfolios in cabinet I was curious to watch her first press conference yesterday, and she never mentioned the jobs crisis once. Since the House has prorogued, the government debt has gone up $4.1 billion, and we now have almost 600,000 people unemployed in Ontario. So I worry that she's going to continue down the McGuinty legacy. So I'd like to see her call an investigation into this gas plant. And also, we need to look into the Orange scandal and the e-health scandal as well.
I was just going to say, if you're going to have a public inquiry, an investigation, whatever you call it, into the gas plant, I guess you should have two or three more to look into e-health and Orange and several other scandals.
We need the legislature to open immediately, get the committee set up so we can put pressure on the McGuinty Wynn Liberals and start looking into these things. I mean, as I said, the House was prorogued 127 days ago. In those 127 days, the debt has gone up $4 billion. It's, we're in an absolute crisis here in the province of Ontario.
Are we heading toward a cliff, Monty?
Absolutely. We're exactly where Greece was 10 years ago. We have a serious debt crisis. It's going to hit $411 billion by 2017. When McGuinty and Wynn were elected back in 2003, that debt was just over $100 billion. We're in the worst crisis in the province's history today.
Let me ask your reaction, without a lot of context and background in here, just simply to Andrea Horvath's position earlier this hour. We have to have an inquiry, a public inquiry, into the gas plant fiascos.
I support that. I mean, we've long called for it. Our party, when the House was sitting in the fall, was putting pressure to get the investigation underway. It'll be interesting to see how Kathleen Wynne deals with this question this morning.
I don't think most people in Ontario suspect that Tim Hudak is going to help prop up the government of Kathleen Wynne and give her enough time to establish some credibility in her new position. But are you concerned that Andrea Horvath might?
Absolutely. I see Kathleen Wynne and Andrea Horvath, the Liberals and NDP, are essentially the same. I think the Liberals are going to veer more to the left. I think by watching Kathleen Wynne's victory speech, I mean, she said in her own words that she's going to continue the Dalton McGuinty legacy. Well, I can tell you we need to get the House open here, and we need to get dealing with the jobs and debt crisis that the Liberals have created over the last 10 years.
But there's no money.
We need to pay this debt back. We need to balance the books, and we've got to make some tough choices. Tim Hudak and the PCs have been putting out many position papers over the last 9 or 10 months. And we're hoping that Kathleen Wynne will adopt some of those positions. But I'm afraid that she's going to be going to the NDP for help.
All of that being said, and we have just a couple of moments left here, Monty, the legislature is going to be recalled for February the 19th. That's only 3 weeks away. Andrea Horvath obviously has a very, very difficult decision to make. Prop up this government and give it time to establish some credibility, or go for all the marbles now. When do you expect an election?
Oh, Andy, I really have no idea. I think the focus is every MPP in Ontario needs to get back to Queen's Park. We need to get the padlock off the door, and we need to face this challenge that's facing Ontario, the jobs and debt crisis. I mean, Ontario is facing another potential credit downgrade, and I think we need to get the House open. It's, you know, unfortunate it's going to take another 3 weeks. We should be back today, but Kathleen Wynne is you know, calling it back for February the 19th, and I think we need to face the challenges in front of us.
Monty, so much appreciate you joining us this morning. Dramatic times ahead.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you so much. What a discussion we've had this morning about the victory of Kathleen Wynne. Want to leave you with John, the avid liberal. Avid liberal, listening to Andy's show. They're not all conservatives. Who has parked his liberal membership?
Negative. I've been a longtime liberal supporter, but that train is in the station. Never again. After the two terms that Dalton, or one and a half terms that he put in, absolutely not.
Wow, that was the call of the morning, and probably the call of a lot of liberals across Ontario. But who knows? Who knows? Kathleen Wynne, Dalton McGuinty doing a photo op just minutes from now, a dramatic day in Ontario politics as Kathleen Wynne tries to crawl out from under the carnage left by Mr. McGuinty. Hands on the wheel, eyes on the road, especially with the driving conditions out there today. Toronto and areas to the north of Toronto taking quite a beating. We'll get the latest on that. So hands on the wheel, eyes on the road. Please hang up and drive so you arrive alive, and we'll see you tomorrow morning at 9. Right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBJ.